All right, so picture this. You're finally building that dream home, you know, ocean views the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
But then rainy season hits, and it turns out the contractor maybe cut a few corners,
Oh,
leaky roof, unstable foundation, you name it, just a
no.
total construction nightmare.
Yeah.
So now the question is, could you actually sue for like the emotional distress all that causes? That's what we're going to be diving into today with a case that actually went all the way up to the California Supreme Court,
Wow.
Ehrlich versus Meneses.
That's a fascinating case because it really gets at this tricky intersection of contract law and tort law, and it forces us to think about, okay, how do we balance holding someone to, the promises they made in a contract with the idea of harm that they might have caused kind of outside of that agreement?
I see. So just to set the stage, who are the players in this story?
Okay, so back in 1999, we have Barry and Sandra Ehrlich. They hired this contractor, John Meneses, to build their custom home. And I mean, these folks, they poured their life savings into this place, wanted to do it right. But things went south pretty fast when the rain started coming down.
So we're not talking just like a, a little leak here or
No,
there.
no, no. We're talking major damage.
Oh, wow.
Water pouring from the ceilings, the walls soaking the bedrooms. Meneses, he tried to patch things up, but every fix just seemed to cause more problems, Cutting holes in walls, tearing up ceilings, the whole bit.
I'm getting stressed just thinking about it. I bet
Oh.
the Ehrlichs were beside themselves.
Absolutely. They testified about just the massive emotional toll this whole ordeal took on them. Barry actually developed a stress-induced heart condition that he directly attributed to, the defective construction and the constant disruptive repairs.
That's awful.
So they sued Meneses, breach of contract negligence. They even threw in fraud and misrepresentation.
Wow, so they went all in, huh?
They did, and at first it seemed like a slam dunk. The jury sided with the Ehrlichs on the breach of contract and negligence and awarded them over $400,000 just for the repairs alone.
Okay, sounds like a pretty decisive win.
It does, but here's where it gets interesting.
Oh.
The jury also tacked on another $165,000 for emotional distress, physical pain, and lost earnings for Barry.
Oh.
But when the case reached the California Supreme Court, they reversed that emotional distress award.
Really?
And that's why this case is still debated today.
Wow.
It brings up this massive question: can you get compensated for emotional suffering just because a contractor messed up,
Right.
even if it was a really bad mess up?
So it's not as simple as contractor did a bad job. I get money for my heartache. This case really gets to the core of how we legally interpret these types of situations, right?
Yeah, it more forces us to draw a line. On one side, you have contract law. Did someone uphold their end of the bargain? On the other, you have tort law. Did someone's actions actually harm another person or their property, regardless of a contract?
Okay, so walk us through the Supreme Court's thinking. Why did they ultimately deny those emotional distress damages for the Ehrlichs?
Well, Justice Brown, who wrote the majority opinion, basically said, look, Meneses messed up the house. No doubt he broke the contract. But did he do something outside of that contract that caused harm? Did he commit fraud? Did he intentionally inflict emotional distress? And the answer there was no.
So even though it was probably pretty obvious that this, botched construction job would lead to some major stress that wasn't enough to justify those extra damages.
Right. The court made a distinction: just because something bad was foreseeable doesn't automatically make it like a separate claim for damages. They were worried that if they allowed emotional distress claims for like every single contract dispute, it would turn the legal system upside down.
Do you imagine?
Yeah. Suddenly every fender bender is a lawsuit about someone's shattered nerves. And the Supreme Court pointed to another important principle. They felt it should be the legislature's job, not the court's, to create new remedies in housing disputes.
So they were basically saying, we're not going to rewrite the rules here. If you want to change how emotional distress is handled in these cases, take it up with the lawmakers.
Exactly.
Interesting. But I think there was a dissenting opinion in this case, right?
There was, Justice Werdegar actually agreed with the outcome. She didn't think the Ehrlichs deserved those extra damages, but she felt the majority went too far in their analysis of how negligence plays into contract breaches.
Hold on. So they agreed on the result, but disagreed on the why.
Exactly. Werdegar argued that the majority opinion went on this tangent about hypotheticals that weren't relevant to the Ehrlich specific situation.
So even amongst you know, legal experts. There's debate about the finer points of how this case should be interpreted and what it means for future cases.
Absolutely. And that's what makes this case so important to study. It highlights just how complex these legal issues can be when we're dealing with, you know, real people and their very real suffering.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So we've established that Ehrlich versus Menezes kind of threw a wrench in that idea of getting emotional distress damages just because the contractor messed up.
Yeah.
But let's get practical here.
Yeah.
What does this all mean for, like, homeowners, contractors, or just anyone, you know, dealing with a construction project?
Right.
What are the takeaways that can help people avoid ending up in a legal battle like this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that's where this case really hits home, you know? I think one of the biggest things to learn from Ehrlich versus Menezes is that your contract is your lifeline.
Okay.
It can either be your best friend or your worst enemy, depending on how it's written.
So you're saying even if a contractor promises you the moon and stars, if it's not in writing, it basically doesn't exist?
Pretty much. And this goes for both sides, you know? Homeowners need to make sure that everything they expect is clearly laid out in the contract. The materials, the timeline, the payment schedule, the whole nine yards.
No more handshake deals and hoping for the best.
Exactly. Because when things go wrong.
Right.
And let's be honest with construction. Things always go wrong to some degree.
Yeah.
That contract is what everyone's going to point to.
Okay. So for homeowners, it's all about being super specific.
Yeah.
You know, detailed in that contract.
Yeah.
What about contractors?
Yeah.
What lessons should they be taking away from this case?
Well, for contractors, it's not just about writing a solid contract. It's also about sticking to it religiously.
Okay.
Document everything, every conversation, every change order, every little detail.
So basically, create a paper trail that could rival a library.
You got it. Because if a dispute does arise, you want to be able to show exactly what was agreed upon.
Right.
What work was done and why.
Yeah.
It's all about covering yourself.
Yeah.
And avoiding those he said, she said situations.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So we've got our airtight contracts, our meticulous records.
Right.
What happens if things still go south?
Yeah.
What are the legal options for both sides?
Well, as we've seen with Ehrlich, proving a straight-up breach of contract is one thing.
Okay.
You know, you didn't get the granite countertops you paid for. The roof is leaking.
Right.
Those are pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
But proving a tort, like fraud or intentional harm, that's a whole different beast.
Okay, so if you're a homeowner and you're, you know, facing this construction disaster, is it even worth trying to go for those emotional distress damages?
Honestly, it's a tough road unless you have like rock solid evidence that the contractor deliberately set out to cause you harm or deceive you.
Right.
It's going to be an uphill battle.
Okay.
And that's where a good lawyer comes in.
Yeah.
Someone who can look at the specifics of your situation and give you realistic advice.
So don't just rush to the courthouse. Talk to an expert first. Makes sense. Are there any other options besides, you know, all out litigation?
Uh-huh.
I feel like lawsuits can get pretty messy and expensive.
Yeah, you're right. They can. That's why things like mediation and arbitration are becoming more and more popular in construction disputes.
Okay, what's the difference?
Basically, instead of duking it out in court, you bring in a neutral third party to help facilitate a resolution. Hmm. It's usually less formal, less expensive, and it can help preserve the relationship between the homeowner and the contractor, which can be important if the project isn't finished yet.
So it's like having a referee, you know, who can help everyone cool down and find a solution that works.
Exactly. And sometimes just having that neutral party there to listen and offer guidance can make a huge difference.
This has been really helpful in, you know, understanding the practical side of things.
Yeah.
It's one thing to talk about, you know, legal theories, but it's another to see how those actually translate into real world advice for people dealing with these stressful situations.
Right.
Any final words of wisdom before we wrap up this section?
I think the biggest takeaway is that awareness is key. You know, whether you're a homeowner, a contractor, or even just someone thinking about hiring someone for a small project.
Yeah.
Understand your rights.
Yeah.
Understand your responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid to ask questions.
Mm.
A little bit of knowledge up front can save a lot of headaches down the road.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be back to wrap things up. Okay, so we've covered all the ins and outs of Ehrlich, you know, and we've talked about some practical takeaways.
Yeah.
But now I'm curious how this case would actually, like, play out in different situations.
Right.
Let's put on our, you know, legal thinking caps and walk through a few scenarios.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Hypothetical time.
Yeah.
Always a good way to test our understanding.
Exactly.
And see how these legal principles work, you know, in the real world.
Okay, so let's say we have a couple building their dream vacation cabin, you know, up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going great until they find out the contractor used like cheap, flimsy lumber for the framing. Totally not what the contract specified.
Yeah, that's a red flag right there. We got a clear breach of contract using substandard materials like that, you know, could compromise the whole structure.
Exactly. And this couple, they poured their heart and soul into this cabin.
Right.
Now they're worried sick about its safety, not to mention all the money they've sunk into it.
Mm.
Do they have a shot at getting damages for all that emotional stress?
Well, this is where Ehrlich throws a bit of a curveball, you know?
Yeah.
Remember, just being negligent or messing up isn't enough to win those emotional distress damages.
Right.
They'd have to prove that the contractor was being deliberately shady.
So if they could prove that the contractor knew the lumber was garbage, but used it anyway, just to, you know, save a buck, that might change things.
If there's evidence of the contractor intentionally cutting corners or being deceptive, that could bump it up from a simple contract breach to a tort claim.
Okay.
And that opens the door to those extra damages.
Intentional wrongdoing. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's switch gears. Imagine a homeowner renovating their kitchen. The contractor keeps blowing past deadlines, leaving the place a total construction zone for like months longer than planned.
Ugh. I know that pain renovation delays are the worst.
Right. It throws your whole life out of whack.
Totally.
So this homeowner is clearly stressed out, inconvenienced. Can they sue for emotional distress just because the contractor couldn't stick to the schedule?
This is another tricky one.
Yeah.
You know, Ehrlich sets a high bar.
Yeah.
While the missed deadlines are definitely a breach of contract,
right,
they might not automatically justify those extra damages.
Okay.
Unless,
well, give me the legal loophole here.
Unless the homeowner can prove that the contractor was intentionally dragging things out.
Okay.
Maybe to prioritize other projects, maybe just to mess with them, who knows?
Right.
But if there's evidence of like deliberate delay tactics,
yeah,
that could change the game.
So once again, it boils down to proving that it wasn't just a simple mistake or incompetence.
Right.
There has to be like malicious intent behind it.
You're getting it. And this is why it's so important to document everything. Yeah.
Both homeowners and contractors should keep detailed records of communication, agreed upon timelines, changes to the project, everything.
Right.
That way, if a dispute does arise, you have proof to back up your side of the story.
Okay, so those are some pretty specific examples.
Yeah.
But stepping back, what's the biggest lesson you think people should take away from Ehrlich?
To me, it all comes back to awareness.
Okay.
Whether you're a homeowner, a contractor, or even just someone thinking about hiring a handyman, educate yourself, know your rights, know your responsibilities, and don't be afraid to ask questions.
So it's not just about the legal technicalities.
Right.
It's about being informed and proactive and protecting yourself.
Exactly. A little knowledge up front can go a long way in preventing those construction nightmares.
Yeah.
And if things do go wrong, you'll be better equipped to navigate the legal system.
Right.
And hopefully get the outcome you deserve. Well, this deep dive has definitely been enlightening. I feel like we've peeled back the layers of this case and uncovered some really valuable insights, you know, about construction law contracts and how to avoid ending up in court.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating exploration, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
And I hope our listeners can take these lessons to heart, you know,
yeah,
build strong foundations for their projects,
yeah,
and maybe even avoid some of those emotional roller coasters that come with construction gone wrong.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Oh.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Ehrlich versus Meneses.
It's been a pleasure.
Remember, knowledge is power. Communication is key. And always get everything in writing until next time.